WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our show today has featured interviews from our archives with writer John Updike. We're closing the show with an interview we recorded this week about his new novel, Brazil. Novelist Scott Spencer once wrote that Updike's genius is apparent in his use of passionately poetic language to describe a world utterly and unalterably everyday. Updike's new novel takes him far from his everyday life. It's set in Brazil, and it's about the love between a black man from the slums of Rio and a white woman from a wealthy family. Their love is threatened by everything from her parents, who turn against them, to poverty and enslavement. Part of the novel is inspired by the magic realism of Latin American writers like Marquez and Borges. I told Updike that I thought much of his fiction has a kind of skepticism, realism, and modernity that seems in opposition to magic.
The author with the blank page in front of him, of course, can make magic happen very easily. Every sentence you write down is, in a way, bringing something out of nothing, and you can change people's colors very easily with the change of an adjective. But it is a freedom you're aware of as you write, and so for the author it's perhaps less of a leap than it is for the reader, who expects a credible, plausible version of our world where, alas, miracles and magic are in quite short supply. But I tried to make the magic in this book understandable internally as well as externally, that is, in some way it's a wish fulfillment of what the people want, so in that way it's a plant, a flower that's comes out of reality, but the flower is magic.
Do you have any belief anywhere in your heart in magic?
Probably not. You know, I'm a math teacher's son and kind of skeptical. On the other hand, there's something magical about just our existence, isn't there, of being an ego inside this machine and being me instead of you, and the way the planet is so green and lovely in the midst of all this barren emptiness. I think, in a way, there's enough magic in reality so that I can't say I don't believe in any magic.
I want you to read a short passage in which Isabel goes to a shaman and asks him to work his magic on her and her lover. Would you explain the kind of magic she wants him to work?
Yes, she is at the end of quite a long and perilous trip, which she's taken with a young Indian woman, a co-wife, actually. At this point, she's the wife of a Bandeirante, who is a 18th century explorer and predator. In brief, Tristão's, her lover's blackness, has got them into a lot of trouble with her family. And as a gift of love, she wants to change his color. And she's sufficiently deep into Brazil that she's reached an area where this kind of magic might occur. Anyway, she has heard of a magician who lives on top of a mesa, and she finally gets there and is now interviewing him. His name is Tejucupapo, and you'll have to forgive if I mispronounce anything in here.
You're just the author, it's all right.
Well, being an author doesn't mean you can pronounce all of the words you use, alas. The names I got, I think, out of Levi Strauss, where he talks about Indian friends of his, and he addresses her as Maira, which is the way the white men were first addressed when they came by the Indians. It means a kind of a god. It's as if you addressed a stranger as Jesus or Christ. I mean, it's a salute of a kind. Maira, he asks her, what is it you want my magic to do? As she explained, the shaman's browless eyes widened and his toothless jaw opened at first in incomprehension and then in comprehension. He said, as far as she could understand, I should explain that they don't speak the same language, but he has had her smoke a certain tobacco, a kind of tobacco that enables her to understand. She's on a kind of mystical trip, as it were, in which some of his words make enough sense. So she hears him saying, magic is a way of adjusting nature. Nothing can be created. Only Monan, the god above, can create. And he long ago grew tired of creating because he saw what a mess men had made of his world.
magic can merely transpose and substitute, as with the counters of a game. When something here is placed there, something there must be placed here. For every grain there is a sacrifice somewhere else. Do you understand?
I understand, she says.
Are you willing to sacrifice for this Tristan?
I already have. I've lost my world. I've lost my father.
Are you willing to change yourself?
Yes, if he will still love me.
He will still love you, but not in the same way. When we disturb nature with magic, nothing stays the same. Things shift.
His eyes had narrowed again and looked blazingly red with the smoke and the kaim. I am willing. I am eager.
I like your description of magic, that every time something here is placed there, something there must be placed here. So for every action, there's a reaction. Do you want to describe what the reaction is to the magic she asks to be worked?
Well, yes, she can only turn him white by herself becoming black. And so he paints her. He paints her with a juice and blows this magic smoke on her. And she, having gone in as a white woman, comes out as a black woman. And as such, she has her own charms, and their romance continues, but is kind of flipped, as it were, and takes on a different timbre, both in the sex and the way that they relate to each other. The novel is very much about skin, in a way, but not just skin, because having a black skin changes things inside as well as outside.
Were you interested in magic or in fairy tales when you were young?
To a degree. Not as interested as my parents or as my mother would have liked me to be. I remember that most fairy tales somewhat scared me. I think the Grimm tales, Grimm, of course, especially penetrated my Germanic mind, and some of them are lessons to live by. I remember especially one tale in which a woman wishes, for every wish she loses a piece of a hide, a magic hide hung on her wall, and eventually she uses the hide up, and that somehow struck me as what life was like, and I've gone through it making wishes, and when they're granted, you tend to lose a piece of that magic hide.
Is that how you feel?
A little. For everything you get that you want, you also lose something. Life is gain and loss, and in the end, maybe a touch more loss than gain.
It's kind of like your definition of magic in the book.
It is, and the sense of replacement. You know, at the heart of the Christian faith is this strange act of substitution and sacrifice. Somehow God just couldn't forgive the world. He had to send his son to be sacrificed. So the notion that magic is a displacement, that it's not something out of nothing, only God can do that, but you have to rearrange. It's a rearrangement of the world. And so both magic and engineering come in the same box in a way.
Well, John Updike, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
John Updike's new novel is called Brazil.